This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Let's continue our lesson. From ayah number 8, we were studying about the third group of mankind that has been mentioned at the beginning of the Quran. The first group is of those people who are blessed with guidance. They're on the right way. They are the successful ones. The second group is of the disbelievers who are not on guidance, those who are maghdoob, those who are offered guidance but they reject it, they deny it, they don't believe, they don't accept, and at the end they deserve the punishment of Allah. And the third group is of the hypocrites, the dhaleen, those who are astray, those who have no knowledge, those who lack comprehension, those who do not have understanding, and they're not on the right way, they're not on the path of guidance. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes the discussion with, وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ, they are not those who obtain guidance, meaning they are ضَالِّينَ, they are astray. And the third group is of who? What's the term that is given to them? The hypocrites. What's the Arabic word for that? مُنَافِقُونَ, مُنَافِق. Who is a munafiq? A munafiq is someone who suffers from nifaq, hypocrisy. And the word nifaq, hypocrisy, is from the root letters Noon, Fa, Qaf. Noon, Fa, Qaf. Nafaqa. We did the word Razaqnahum Yunfiqoon. Wamimma Razaqnahum Yunfiqoon. Those who have taqwa, who are they? Those who spend out of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for them. So we see that the word Yunfiqoon and Munafiq both have the same root. Isn't it so? When you spend something, nafaqa, what does it mean literally? I told you it means kharaja, to leave. Right? That's the literal meaning of the word. So a munafiq, what does he do? He enters into Islam, and as soon as he finds some difficulty, what does he do? He leaves. He begins to do something for Allah. When he finds it difficult, he leaves. He is not committed to the deen. If there is any challenge, any difficulty, he leaves because he never really entered into Islam with sincerity in the first place. Also, from the same root is the word nafqa, which is used for, or nafiqa, which is used for a mouse, a female mouse, which lives in the desert, and its tunnel or the house that it has is such that it's an underground tunnel which has multiple openings. What's the reason behind multiple openings? If a snake is chasing it, it's going to enter through one opening and the snake is going to wait there for it to come out, or the animal that is trying to catch it is going to wait there for it to come out. But what does the mouse do? It goes out from the other hole. This is what the hypocrite does. He enters into Islam, and when there is a difficulty, he has his exits. He has his ways out. He doesn't stay there. When things become difficult, he doesn't like to take the challenge. So we learned about them. Let's just go over quickly over the verses. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And of the people are some who say, we believe in Allah and the last day. But Allah says, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. They are not actually believers. Why does Allah say that? They say that we believe in Allah and the last day. Allah says they're not believers. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that? Allah knows what's in their hearts. They're only making this statement on their tongues. They don't actually mean it. They're only verbally proclaiming their faith. They don't actually mean that they have believed in Allah and the last day. وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. And they're not at all believers. The next ayah says, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They try to deceive Allah and those who have believed. How? How do they try to deceive Allah and the believers? How do they try to deceive Allah and the believers? By just appearing to be believers. By appearing to be Muslims. So why is this act called deceit? When they appear to be Muslims, this act of appearing to be Muslims, why is it called deceit? Yes. They're hiding the truth, they're hiding kufr, they're hiding disbelief. And also, they're trying to show themselves as believers. Why? To gain some benefit. To get some advantages, which they wouldn't get if they were not believers.
So يخادعون الله والذين آمنوا, but Allah says وما يخدعون إلا أنفسهم وما يشعرون. But they deceive not except themselves, but they perceive it not. How is it that they are deceiving themselves? What does it mean by that? They only deceive themselves. The hypocrites. Exactly. They think that they can cheat without getting caught, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. What does it mean by they only deceive themselves by appearing to be believers? Exactly. They are only harming themselves by this deceit. The consequences of their deceit, who will suffer them? Allah and His Messenger? No. They themselves will suffer the consequences. So it shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish them for their deceit. Where? How? When? In the dunya as well as the akhirah. In this world, by their hypocrisy being revealed to the people, and in the hereafter, by the punishment. Then Allah says, وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They don't even realize. They don't even perceive. What do they not realize? What do they not perceive? What do they not get? What do they not understand? They don't understand the fact that they will be the ones who will suffer. Remember that anyone who tries to harm others, he harms himself. The one who digs a hole for another falls in it himself first. He harms himself. And many times people don't realize that when they're trying to harm others, they're actually harming themselves. For example, there is a person and he's trying to really degrade another person, ruin their reputation, and they go about talking to others, you know, negative things about that particular person. Okay, fine. That person is going to have a negative reputation. What else is going to happen? When people are going to see him, what are they going to say? What are they going to think? This is the person who talks bad about others. This is the person who talks negatively about others. So a person who tries to harm others harms himself first. Harms himself first in this world as well as in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in Surah Fatir, ayah number 43, وَلَا يَحِيقُ الْمَكْرُ السَّيِّئُ إِلَّا بِأَهْلِهِ. The evil plot does not encompass except its own people. The evil plot does not encompass except who? Its own people. Meaning those people who have devised that evil plot, they're the ones who suffer first. They're doing this to get benefits from both sides. From the side of the believers and also from the side of the disbelievers. But do they actually get the benefits? Only for some time. And very soon, people realize their reality. People discover their reality. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. In their hearts is a disease. Which disease is this? The disease of hypocrisy. What else? The disease of doubt. The disease of shak. Shak about what? Doubt about what? About the deen. Because if they had yaqeen about their religion, then they would enter it wholeheartedly. They would enter it with confidence. And they would be committed to the deen. When a person is not committed to something, what does that show? That they're not sure about it. Isn't it? They're not confident about it. And if a person is committed to something, what does that show? They're 100% sure that that is what they must do, that is what they should do. Therefore, they are committed. So, في قلوبهم مرض, this disease, this ailment, this sickness is of hypocrisy, of doubt. What happens? Do they cure their disease? No, they don't. So as a result, فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. So Allah has increased their disease. Just as any disease, if it is not cured, it is going to increase. Now there is a question. If a person has some doubt about the deen, about the Quran, about anything pertaining to their religion, what's the cure for that? Knowledge. Ilm. The cure to shak, the cure to doubt is gaining knowledge. The cure to doubt is gaining knowledge. So if a person has any doubt about the deen, what should he do? Should he go on questioning others and spreading the doubt? Making other people doubtful as well? Should he just stay in that doubt and increase in doubt until eventually he loses his faith completely? No, what's the cure? He should go and gain knowledge about the deen. Seek knowledge of the deen in order to cure this ailment. فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. Allah increases them in their doubt, in their disease. And as a result, what's going to happen? وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And for them is a painful punishment. Why? Why? What does the ayah say? بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. Because they used to lie. Now notice over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. For them is a painful punishment. What is a painful punishment? Painful punishment is that which causes a person more and more pain. How? How? By coming upon him repeatedly and with more severity, with each blow, with each punishment. And also it is painful. Why? Because it is both physical as well as mental, as well as emotional. For example, as for the physical pain, physical punishment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nisa that إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ, the hypocrites, where will they be? فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ, in the lowest depth of the hellfire, at the bottom of the hellfire, where the punishment is most severe. And as for the emotional, as for the mental punishment, we learn about that in Surah Sajda, ayah number 20, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the people of hellfire that كُلَّمَا أَرَادُوا أَن يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا أُعِيدُوا فِيهَا. Every time the people of hellfire will intend to come out of the hellfire, what's going to happen? They will be returned back into the hellfire. وَقِيلَ لَهُمْ, and it will be said to them, ذُوقُوا عَذَابَ النَّارِ الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تُكَذِّبُونَ. Taste the punishment of the hellfire which you used to deny before. So yes, there is physical punishment, but along with that there is also emotional, there is also mental punishment. Because they will want to try to get out, but each time they will be returned. There is no escape. And also, with the return, they will be reproached. They will be reprimanded. Taste. Taste this punishment. Experience this punishment because of what you used to deny, because of the denial that you did, because of the wrong that you did. You know how sometimes you're suffering the punishment, and then you're also reminded of the wrong that you did. Doesn't that hurt? You know, just forget it at least. Just forget it now. It's done. It's over. I've said sorry. I have apologized. Just forget about it. But other people don't let you forget about it. They remind you again and again. That itself is a punishment. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. Because they used to lie. As for lying, we went into great detail about the different types of lies that we have in our lives. And we have learned from this ayah that anyone who wishes to be guided, what does he have to do? He has to stop lying. Because the hypocrites, they lie. And the hypocrites, they do not receive guidance. The hypocrites, they do not receive guidance. Elsewhere also in the Quran, in Surah Ghafir, ayah number 28, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي مَنْ هُوَ مُسْرِفٌ كَذَّابٌ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide one who is a transgressor and a liar. What does this ayah show us? That a person who lies, Allah does not guide him. And for those who lie, there is a severe punishment. A believer is truthful. And we learn in the Quran that those people who are truthful, their truthfulness is going to help them on the Day of Judgment. Their truthfulness is going to help them on the Day of Judgment. Many times we say, oh, what we say are just small white lies, small lies, very petty, very insignificant. What's the big deal? You see, if a person says one lie, it becomes a habit. It becomes a habit. And over here, what do we learn? Bima kanu yakthibun. What does the word kanu mean? They habitually used to lie. They always used to lie. It was their habit. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us? Qulu qawlan sadida. Say what? What kind of a statement? That which is straight, that which is correct, that which is proper, that which is according to reality. Because once a person starts to lie with regards to little issues, then it becomes a habit. It becomes second nature. And he doesn't even realize, and he is lying. He doesn't even realize, and he is lying. So all of us, we have to be very careful from now on, inshallah, to watch every word that we utter. To watch everything that we say. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. Next ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ. And when it is said to them, what is said to them? لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Do not create corruption in the earth. Do not cause corruption on the earth. What do they do? قَالُوا, they say, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ. Indeed, we are only reformers. We are only making peace. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ. When it is said to them. The word قِيلَ is from the root letters قَافْ وَاوْ لَمْ. We have done the word قَالُوا before. So قِيلَ, it was said. When it was said to them. By who? By who? Huh? Some people are saying by Allah, some people are saying the believers, some others are saying the Prophet ﷺ. So it shows that the statement has been kept general. That no matter who says this to them, no matter who it is, who tells them, do not create corruption on the earth. This is their response. You know, sometimes if a person does not listen to their sibling, and their sibling really wants them to do something, what is their sibling going to do? They're going to go talk to their parents. Can you please tell them to do this? I want my brother to fix my computer. He's not doing it for me. Can you please tell him to do it? What happens then? Your father says to him, and eventually he listens. And he does it. But the hypocrites, Allah says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ, when it is said to them, and the statement has been kept general, that no matter who says to them, whether it is the believers, whether it is the Prophet ﷺ, whether it is a command that is in the Qur'an, no matter who says to them, what is said to them, لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, do not create fasad on the earth. The word لَا تُفْسِدُوا is from the word fasad. Have you heard of the word fasad? It's from the root letters fa, seen, dal. Fa, seen, dal. Fasad literally is when something goes bad. What is fasad? When something goes bad. Like for example, just imagine food that has become spoiled. It has gone bad. Is it usable? Is it beneficial? No. Has it caused you some loss? Yes. Right? The same food that you bought for, you know, a few dollars, it just sat in your fridge for some time. It was not used. And eventually it goes in the bin. It's as if you're throwing that same money into the bin. It causes loss, right? So fasad is when something goes bad. So la tufsidu, ifsad is to cause corruption, to cause disorder, to do mischief, so that the things are not normal, so that the situation is not normal. There is corruption. For example, when a person lies to another, is there going to be disorder? Is there? Yes. A person lies, there is going to be disorder. A person breaks a promise. A person does not fulfill a commitment. A person cheats the other. Is there going to be peace or is there going to be disorder? Disorder. So when it is said to them, لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, do not create fasad in the earth. The word أَرْض is from the root letters Hamza, Ra, Dad. And the word أَرْض applies to the earth, the entire earth. It also applies to a particular land. It can apply to country. It can apply to a particular region. So, لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, do not create mischief in the earth. What does it mean by فَسَاد فِي الْأَرْضِ? What does it mean by creating disorder on the earth? What does it mean by that? Creating disorder in the earth. Basically, disorder on the earth, فَسَاد on the earth, is caused by acts of disobedience. How is it caused? Acts of disobedience. To who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person does not obey Allah, what happens? There is going to be fasad. And this is of two types. This is of two types. First of all, on the earth itself, on the physical earth. For example, when people they cheat each other, when people lie to each other, when the people are not truthful in their transactions, what happens? There is punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which comes in the form of famine, in the form of drought. There is disorder on the earth. For example, when Fir'aun, he did not listen to Musa alayhi salam, what happened? What happened to the people of Fir'aun? Did they suffer from anything? Of course they did. We learned in Surah Al-A'raf, ayah number 30, وَلَقَدْ أَخَذْنَا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ بِالسِّنِينَ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. And certainly we seize the people of Fir'aun with years of famine and a loss of their provision of fruit. Why? Why was that so? Because they disobeyed the messenger. So when people disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happens? There is disorder on the physical earth. People suffer from calamities. They suffer from natural disasters. They suffer from things like famine. When they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first type of fasad is fasad that is on the physical earth. The second type of fasad is fasad amongst the Ahlul Ard. Who are the Ahlul Ard? The dwellers of the earth. Those who live on the earth. Who lives on the earth? People, animals, but mainly people. So fasad fi Ahlul Ard is, for example, lying to others, cheating other people, breaking promises, not fulfilling commitments. That creates fasad between people. That ruins relationships. That corrupts relationships. People mistrust each other. People go to lengths of killing each other. Physically hurting each other. So when it is said to them, لا تفسدوا في الأرض, do not create fasad on the earth, and this fasad refers to both the types of fasad. Now the question is, how are the hypocrites causing fasad? Because when they're told, do not create fasad, that automatically means they were creating fasad, right? So what kind of fasad were the hypocrites doing? What kind of fasad were the hypocrites doing? Both, right? They were disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bringing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment upon them. And also, they were creating disharmony, or they were creating ill feelings or such things among the people. When somebody lies to you, how do you feel? When somebody backbites about you, how do you feel? So when they were told not to create fasad, what was their response? What is their response? Allah says, قَالُوا, they say, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ. Indeed, we are but reformers. We are only reformers. You see the word إِنَّمَا? إِنَّ means indeed. What is this ma? This ma is actually extra. What did I tell you about extra words? They do not carry their literal meaning in the context, isn't it? So you don't translate them as you would otherwise translate them. But they have a purpose. Sometimes that purpose is emphasis. Other times the purpose is hasr. What does hasr mean? Does anyone know? To constrict, to confine, to limit. What does it mean? To confine, to constrict, to limit. So this innama, together, what this means is that indeed the reality is only this. Indeed, the reality is only this. So qalu, they say that innama, indeed, the reality is that nahnu muslihun, we are only those people who are making reform. In other words, we are far away from doing fasad. Innama nahnu muslihun. And the word muslihun is the plural of muslih. Who is a muslih? One who does islah. And islah is from the root letters. What do you think? Sad, lam, ha. Very good. Islah. Islah is from salah. Okay? And salah is when something is right and proper. When something is as it should be. When something is correct. And islah, what does that mean? It means to put things right. To put things right after they have been corrupted. To fix things after they have been corrupted. To repair. to improve. So they say that no, we're not mufsid. Who are we? We are only muslih. We are only making reforms. We are only putting things right. What do they mean by this statement? What do they mean by this statement? That no, we're not creating any facade. What we're doing is right. And it also shows that the hypocrites, they are unaware of the reality of their deeds. They're unaware of the reality of their deeds. They consider their wrong actions to be such actions that are for the purpose of islah. They consider their wrong actions to be their correct actions. They think that doing bad is equivalent to doing good. They don't perceive things correctly. They don't perceive things correctly. For example, a person says, I'm lying only because I want to please so-and-so. I'm joking and I'm lying at the same time only because I want to make people laugh. What's the big deal? You know, okay, yes, it is considered to be an action of fasad, but I'm lying. Why? For the purpose of islah. Everybody was so sad. Everybody was so disappointed. I just made a joke which was actually a lie and I made everybody laugh. Isn't that a good thing? This is how they look at things. They consider their wrong actions to be good actions. إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ So it shows the hypocrites do not perceive reality as it is. Remember there are الضالين. Who are الضالين? Those who don't have ilm. Those who don't have correct knowledge. We learn in Surah Al-Kahf, ayah number 103 and 104. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shall we believers inform you of the greatest losers as to their deeds? Who are they? الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا They are those whose effort is lost in worldly life, while they think that they are doing well in work, while they think that their actions are good. So, which people suffer most with regards to their actions? Those people whose actions are limited to the life of this dunya only, and the whole time they think that their actions are very good. Just like the hypocrites, who think that their bad deeds are actually good. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Allah says, Ala, unquestionably, innahum humul mufsiduna. Indeed, it is they, only they, who are the corruptors. Walakin la yash'urun. But they do not perceive it. What does it mean by this word, Ala? This word, Ala, as I told you earlier, that it's a combination of A and La, meaning both the words, A and La, form one word together. You cannot break this down as A istifham and La, meaning not. No, it's one word together. Okay? And the word ala is a word with which a sentence is begun, a sentence is initiated. Why? In order to alert the listener. When you hear ala, it's not just ala, it's ala. There's a mad on the la, isn't there? So when a sentence begins in this way, what happens? It alerts the listener. And this word is called harf tanbih. Harf tanbih. Tanbih. What does tanbih mean? Exclamation. You know, sometimes in English when you're writing something, what do you do? If you want to, you know, shout that statement out, sometimes when people are chatting and if they want to shout out that statement, what do? They put it in capital letters. And what else do? They put lots of exclamation marks at the end. Right? But in Arabic, you don't necessarily need the help of, you know, exclamation marks or capital letters. You have it within the words. If you say Allah, it is a very forceful statement. It is a statement that is said with a lot of emphasis, with exclamation. So it gives the benefit of beginning the sentence with an exclamation, sometimes for the purpose of warning, sometimes to alert. And also, the word Allah is used to prove or to show the authenticity of that which is mentioned afterwards. So first of all, what benefit does Allah give? Of exclamation. The second benefit that the word Allah gives is of showing or proving the authenticity of that which is mentioned afterward. Just as the word inna, what does inna mean? Indeed. Such and such, meaning indeed, this is true. Similarly, Allah, unquestionably, this is the reality. This is a fact. What is? That innahum humul mufsidun. That indeed it is they, it is the hypocrites who are the mufsidun. Who are those who create fasad. But do they get it? No, they don't even realize. Now notice over here, innahum means indeed they. What's the next word? Hum. Hum means they. Again, so hum is mentioned twice, isn't it? Why is it mentioned twice? Why is it mentioned twice? For the purpose of emphasis. And remember that whenever a pronoun, for example, hum, hum means they. What is it called? A pronoun. Right? He, she, me, you, I, we. What are these words? Pronouns. Right? Whenever a pronoun occurs like this, meaning on its own, you see the word hum, the second hum, it is not attached to any other word. Isn't it so? The first hum is attached to inna. The second hum is not attached to any other word. So when a pronoun appears on its own, and it's also repeated, it gives the meaning of emphasis, and it also provides the meaning of hasl, meaning of confining the meaning to a particular thing. So what it means is that indeed it is they, only them, only these people, none other than them. It is only these people, none other than them, who are who? Who are the mufsidun, who are those who create fasad. So you see this statement, it has so much emphasis in it. First of all, you have Allah. Secondly, you have inna. Then you have whom. So much emphasis. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us very clearly that do not doubt this fact at all. Do not be fooled by their statements. It is indeed these people who are the mufsid. وَلَكِ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ But they don't perceive. They don't even realize. يَشْعُرُونَ is from the root letters. شِينَ عَيْن رَا
We will listen to the recitation first, and then we will continue.
وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا ولهم عذاب أليم بما كانوا يكذبون وإذا قيل لهم لا تفسدوا في الأرض قالوا إنما نحن مصلحون ألا إنهم هم المفسدون ولكن لا يشعرون
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that indeed it is they who are those who spread mischief, but they do not realize. What do they not realize? That it is actually they who are creating fasad. That by their actions, they are not doing islah. By their actions, they're not doing islah. Instead, they are spreading fasad. Also, this indicates that when they did fasad, for example, cheating and things like that, what did they think while they were cheating? That Allah and His Messenger, the believers, they have no idea about the reality. Isn't it? So they do corruption secretly and display righteousness. And the reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about their actions. So they don't realize the fact that all of their actions are known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. Just wanted to share with you two examples which real life have happened to me and to many others as well. And they are offered, it's an advice that people would offer saying this is in your best interest and I'm saying it because I like you or I want something. when someone gets newly married, sometimes people come and say, you know what, don't listen to everything that your husband says to you. You don't have to get up every time he asks you for water. Why should he take you as his servant? You're not going to be his servant. Stand up for yourself. And that's your best interest. I'm saying it because he will learn to respect you this way. Will he learn to respect you this way? That's going to cause facade in the relationship right at the outset, right? And then another thing is when you come and you join this course, sometimes some people might say, and I've heard somebody share this in class as well, that they were told by someone that, oh, we've been to the course, I was there for a few months, but it puts your family behind and you have to do this and you have to do this. So in your best interest, yeah, go, it's a nice class, just listen to them, but you don't necessarily have to do homework. Don't do everything that they tell you, right? So they offer this advice thinking that that's your best interest. La yashurun, they do not understand how this is going to hurt you, how this is going to cause facade in your life. Is that true? Can you relate to that?
Many times people give advice thinking that that is what's going to bring islah. That is what is going to fix things. That is what is going to improve the situation. But in fact, it is the contrary. It is what creates facade. Next ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ. When it is said to them. Who says to them? Anyone. That no matter who says to them, this is the only response that they give. When it is said to them, what is said to them? آمِنُوا. All of you believe. Believe how? كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ. Just as the people have believed. Believe just as the people have believed. What is their response? قَالُوا. They reply, أَنُؤْمِنُ كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَاءُ. Should we believe as the foolish have believed? Meaning we're not going to believe. You think we're foolish? We're not going to believe like these people have believed. Allah says, أَلَا. Unquestionably, إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ السُّفَهَاءُ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. It is they who are the foolish, but they don't know it at all. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا. They are told, believe in what way? How? كَمَا. In the same way as آمَنَ النَّاسِ, as the people have believed. The word كَمَا is كَ and مَا. كَ means like. And this كَاف is called حَرْف تَشْبِيه. What does تَشْبِيه mean? Does anyone know? تَشْبِيه. When two things are similar, they resemble each other. So كَ gives a meaning of like. Just as. Similar to. Like this. So believe, meaning you should have iman, like whose iman? Just as the people have believed. Now which annas does this refer to? Which people does this refer to? This people, in particular, refers to the sahaba, the companions. It refers to who? The companions of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ, what was their iman like? What was their faith like? What was their faith like? It was the faith that was true and sincere. What they said, they did. What they said was also in their hearts. It was such iman which had commitment. It was such iman in which there was sacrifice, in which there was action. It wasn't just saying that, yes, we believe, I'm a believer. No. What did the sahaba do? They proved their iman to be true as well. So when they're told, believe in the same way, meaning do something as well. Don't just say that you're a believer. Aminu kama amana nas. So what do the hypocrites say in response? They say, anu'minu kama amana sufaha. Should we believe as the foolish ones have believed? Who are they calling foolish? An-nas, the sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anu'minu kama amana sufaha. This what does a mean? Shall? Should? It's a question, right? And remember that a question is asked for several reasons, isn't it? Or a question is used in several ways. Sometimes a question is to really demand an answer. For example, a person says, what is your name? What does that mean? They want the answer, right? They're looking for some information. But sometimes a question is asked not to get an answer. And this question is called a rhetorical question. What is it? A rhetorical question. Meaning there is no answer that is required. It's just a question that is being said to make the other person think or to prove something. So, for example, over here, أَنُؤْمِنُ كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَاءُ. Should we believe as the foolish have believed? They're not asking permission, right? This question is a rhetorical question. They're not really asking for some information. And remember that there is always a reason behind a rhetorical question. There's always a purpose behind it. The purpose over here is of negation. Is of negation. Should we believe like the foolish? What does that mean? I'm not going to believe as the foolish I believed. We're not going to believe as the foolish ones have believed. Do you understand? Like for example, sometimes people are told, do this particular thing. And they say, you want me to do it? Should I do it? What does that mean? I'm not going to do it. Right? So similarly, أَنُؤْمِنُ كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَاءُ. Should we believe as the foolish have believed? Meaning, no, we're not going to believe. So this rhetorical question is for the purpose of negation, and it is also for the purpose of تحقير. What is تحقير? To belittle something, to humiliate something. So by saying this, what are they doing? They are belittling what they are being invited to. What are they being invited to? Iman. Proper Iman. And they say, should we believe? What does that mean? No. You think I should do this? I'm not going to do it. So, أَنُؤْمِنُ كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَاء. It's as if they're saying, no, we're not going to. Are you crazy? Are you in your mind? What are you asking us? كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَاء. And notice, they call the true believers foolish. They call the true believers sufaha. The word sufaha is the plural of safi. It's the plural of safi. Sin fa ya ha. Safi. And safi is from the root letters. What do you think? Sin fa ha. Very good. Remember, the root letters are always in the word, except for the huruf illa. Okay. So, seen faha. Safaha means foolishness. What does it mean? Foolishness. To have little intellect. To have little understanding of something. To be foolish. Literally, the word safaha is when something is light in weight. When something is very light in its weight. For example, it is said, safahati rihu shay. سَفَهَتِ الرِّيحُ الشَّيْءِ, meaning the wind blew away that particular thing. Why? Because it was very light. So things that are light, things that are, you know, useless or purposeless or meaningless, or such things are very light in weight. For example, dry leaves. Dry leaves. They're easily blown away by the wind. Paper. It's easily blown away by the wind. Alright? So, سَفَهَةَ is foolishness. Why? Because a person who is foolish, what happens to him? He is light mentally. In his mind, he is very light. He can easily be swayed. He can easily be convinced to do something else. Right? But on the other hand, a person who is very firm, people who have deep understanding, people who are intelligent, people who are clever, it's difficult to convince them. Isn't it so? People who are very smart, you have to have a lot of confidence and determination to convince them to do something. So safaha is foolishness, and literally it means to be light in weight. People who are foolish generally are convinced very easily. They are very light in their position, in their determination. So they are calling the believers sufaha. Why? Why are they calling the believers sufaha? Why are they calling them foolish? Okay, they're not respecting them. Why are they calling them foolish in particular? What action of the believers seems like foolishness to them? Which actions? Okay, for example, believers, they believe in the unseen. And they're like, how can you believe in something that you haven't seen? I mean, that's, for them, is foolishness. What else? Believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following the messenger. How can you just follow somebody? You know, whatever the messenger does, you do it. I mean, they say he's a human being. How can you just completely follow him? Why don't you question? Why don't you use your mind? So they call the believers foolish. What else? Also because as soon as the Prophet ﷺ came, the believers, they saw the signs, they realized the truthfulness of the Prophet ﷺ, and they believed. And the hypocrites, they walked in with doubts. Isn't it? They walked in with doubts. So those people who had completely entered into Islam, they were foolish for them. I mean, don't you use your own mind? And for some reason today, we also think that if you are different from other people, then you're special.
In every way, we try to make ourselves different from others. Sometimes in the way that we dress, sometimes in the way that we talk, sometimes in the way that we have our, you know, names, you know, the kind of names that we give ourselves, you know, nicknames and stuff, online, right? Things like that. Why? To make ourselves very different from others. What else? Why did they consider the believers to be foolish? Exactly. That's one of the main things. Because of the sacrifices that the believers were making in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, the hypocrites, they became believers. Why? Why did they become believers? Why did they outwardly show iman? Why? I told you the reason. To get some worldly benefits. They came into Islam to get some benefits. The believers came into Islam and they're losing the benefits. So they call the believers foolish. So for them, the iman which required you to pray 5 times a day, to pray in the masjid, the iman that required you to give sadaqah, to spend your wealth in the way of Allah, to make sacrifices, that iman was foolishness to them. So they say, should we believe like the foolish have believed? Allah says, أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ السُّفَهَاءُ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, unquestionably, it is indeed they who are the foolish, but they don't know it at all. Now again, you see this ayah, there's so much emphasis. Ala, emphasis one. Secondly, inna, indeed. Thirdly, hum, ala, inna hum, humus sufaha. It is only these people who are foolish. Why are the hypocrites foolish? Or how are they foolish? You see, the real foolishness is when a person does not see that which is truly beneficial for him. Real foolishness is when a person does not see and benefit from what is truly beneficial for him. What is beneficial for a person? The deen, right? If a person gets some benefits in the dunya, how long can he enjoy them? For some time. But if he sacrifices now and he gets benefits later on, what is that? What is that? That is success. That is being clever. That is being smart. You know how people say, save your money. Don't waste your money when you're young. Why? So that you have some money when you grow up. You can invest the money. You can gain some profit. So you sacrifice now so that you can benefit later on. This is a principle that we apply almost in every aspect of our lives. Whether it's education, whether it's a relationship, no matter what it is. But when it comes to deen, we think something else completely. We think completely differently. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 130, وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَمْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ Allah says, and who would be averse to the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam? What was the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam? Tawheed, the same religion that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam brought. So who would be averse to the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam except for the one who makes a fool of himself? Who makes a fool of himself? He is leaving that which is more beneficial for that which is not beneficial. Ala, innahum humus sufaha. But do they realize their foolishness? No. Walakin la ya'lamun. They call them foolish because of the deen. Because of the deen that they practice. Because of the sacrifices that they had made. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that indeed it is only they who are the foolish, but they don't know. What do they not know? What do they not have ilm of? Huh? That which is foolishness and that which is not foolishness. That which is safaha and that which is not safaha. That which is beneficial and that which is not beneficial. They don't have ilm. They don't have knowledge. Remember? They are al-dhalin. Who is al-dhal? Someone who does not have ilm and does not even act upon that ilm. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا لَقُوا And when they met. Who? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Those who have believed. قَالُوا They say, آمَنَّا We have believed. وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِهِمْ But when they are alone with their evil ones, قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ They say, indeed we are with you. إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ Indeed we were only mocking. وَإِذَا لَقُوا The word لَقُوا is from the root letters لَمْ قَافْ يَا لَمْ قَافْ يَا لَقِيَا literally means to come face to face with someone, to meet someone, to come across. So وَإِذَا لَقُوا, when they meet, who do they meet? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So in other words, when they come face to face with the believers, when they come across the believers, when they sit with the believers, who? The hypocrites. What do they do? قَالُوا آمَنَّا. They say to the believers, آمَنَّا, we have also believed. So what does this show? That when they're with the believers, they profess faith. They claim to have iman. Immediately, they begin to talk about their piety, about their righteousness, about their religiosity. They make claims about their righteousness. Oh, I did Hajj and I went there 10 years ago. 15 years ago I did that. Amanna. We are also believers. You know, sometimes if a person is wearing hijab, all that other people can talk to them about is religion. You pray for me. You make dua for me. You remember me in your prayers. Why don't you also make dua? Why don't you also make dua for yourself? Why don't you remember yourself in your prayers? So immediately when they see the believers, what do? They start talking about the deen. They say, we have believed. We are also very righteous. We are also very pious. Why do they do this? Why do they do this? Because inside there is a guilt. Inside there is a fear. Inside there is a guilt. Inside there is a fear. So when they see the believers, they say that we are also believers. They immediately begin to talk about religion. وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِهِمْ. But when they are alone with their evil ones. The word خَلَوْا is from the root letters خَا لَمْ وَلْ. خَا لَمْ وَلْ. خَلَى يَخْلُو literally means to be empty. Imagine a place that is empty. That's what خَلَى يَخْلُو means. And when the word خَلَوْ or خَلْوَة is followed by إِلَى, like over here, خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِهِمْ, it means to be alone with someone. What does it mean? To be alone with someone. The place is empty except for you and the other person. So وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِهِمْ, when they have secluded themselves with their evil ones, when they're alone with their evil ones. And the word خَلْوَة إِلَى also conveys the meaning of being alone with someone in order to take counsel, in order to take some advice. In order to take some counsel, in order to take some advice. So when they're alone with their shayateen, the word shayateen is the plural of shaytan. And shaytan is from the root letters sheen, ta, noon. What does shaytana literally mean? I told you before, shaytana, to be far. And shaytan is far. Far from what? From the mercy of Allah. What else? From truth. What else? Guidance. That which is good. From all khayr. Shaytan is far from it. And remember that the word shaytan is not just limited to Iblis. Okay? Shaytan is not only Iblis. What do we read in Surah An-Nas? الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. So we see that shaytan is not just Iblis. Shaytan is from among the jinn and also from among human beings. From among the jinn as well as human beings. So basically, any person, whether human or jinn or any other creature, anyone who is evil in nature, in the sense that they command evil, they promote evil, they incite others to do evil, they are called shaytan. In Surah An-Nas also, what do we read? الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. The one who puts waswasa in the hearts of people. What waswasa? To do evil. To disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyone who promotes wrong, anyone who promotes evil, is who? Is who? Is a shaytan. So over here, وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِهِمْ, when they're alone with their devils, with their evil ones, who are the shayateen? The jinn? No. Shayateen over here refers to their evil leaders. Their leaders. Why are their leaders described as shayateen? Because they promote evil. They command them to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when they're alone with their leaders, قَالُوا, they say, إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ, indeed we are with you. What do they say to the leaders? We are with you. What does it mean by we are with you? We are with you in your faith, in your religion. We are at your service. We are your followers. We will do exactly what you tell us to do. We practice what you command us to do. We obey you. We will listen to you. Inna ma'akum, we are on your side. Now the question is, why do they say this to the leaders? Because they are afraid. When they go to the believers, they say, we have believed. Why? Because they're scared of the Muslims. When they go to their leaders, they say, we are with you. Why? Because they're scared of them. If you think about it, such a person is not on either side. He is not loyal to anybody. He is not faithful to anyone. When he's with one group, he says, I am with you. When he's with another group, he says, I am with you. Well, who are you with? Make up your mind. Decide which side you're going to already. Such a person is not loyal to anyone. And you may have seen that people who, you know, who cheat others, who lie to others, they're not even truthful to their parents, to those who are very sincere to them. Their own parents, they will lie to them. If they have to cheat, they don't care if the person is their friend or is their sibling or is their parent or their relative. They don't care. So a person who lies, a person who cheats, he is not sincere to anybody. And why do they have this double-faced attitude? Because they are afraid. What else do they say to their leaders? That innama nahnu mustahzi'un. Indeed, we were only mocking. We are mockers. We were mockers. We were only mockers. The word mustahzi'un is a plural of mustahzi'. Mustahzi' is the one who does istihza. Okay? What are the root letters? Let's analyze this word. Mustahzi'. The meme indicates noun. Remove that. The seen and ta. These are extra letters, just as we read earlier in Nasta'een. Remember? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Just as we say the word إِسْتِخَارَ. إِسْتِغْفَارَ. So سِين and تَ, they can't be part of the root letters. What do we have left? هَ, زَي, هَمْزَ. وَاوْ نُون is a sign of plural, so what's the root letter? هَ, زَي, هَمْزَ. إِسْتِهْزَ is to make fun of someone. To make someone a target of laughter. To laugh at someone. To make fun of someone. Why? It is to make fun of someone, to laugh at someone, upon considering them to be of little importance and value. When somebody is considered to be of little importance, of little value, then what do people do? What do people do? They make fun of them. They mock at them. They laugh at them. It is also said that istihza is to make fun of something or someone upon finding them khilaful aql. What does khilaful aql mean? Against the intellect. When somebody is doing something that doesn't make sense to you, or when something is in a way that doesn't make sense to you, for example, a person is dressed in a particular way and you don't understand why they're dressed like this in this much heat. Why are they covered from head to toe? Why are they wearing so many layers in this heat? What does it seem? Against intellect, against sense. It doesn't make sense. Right? So istihza is to laugh at someone upon finding them doing something that doesn't make sense to you. That doesn't make sense to you. Not them, but you. Okay? So, innama nahnu mustahzi'un. Indeed, we were only mocking. We were mocking at who? We were mocking at the believers. How are they mocking at the believers? By saying that we are believers. And they actually believed us. We were only making a fool of the believers. We were laughing at the believers. We were just making fun of the believers. Allah says, Allahu yastahzi'u bihim. Allah mocks at them. Allahu yastahzi'u bihim. Allah mocks at them. وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ and prolongs them in their transgression while they wander blindly. Notice how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He mocks at them. What does it mean by this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mocks at the hypocrites? Because if you think about it, mocking at others, laughing at them, is not really a positive thing to do. Isn't it? Isn't it? When you think about somebody making fun of another, how do you feel? Oh, this is not something that's good. So what does it mean by Allah mocks at them? You see, in Arabic, there's a concept that is known as mushakala. Okay? Mushakala. Mushakala is from shakal. And mushakala is when the same word which is used to describe the offense, the same word which is used to describe the offense is used to indicate the punishment for that offense. Okay? Mushakala is when the word that is used to describe the offense is also used to describe the punishment for that offense. And this is a recognized manner of speech in Arabic. And remember that both the times that the word has been used, it implies a different meaning. Let me give you some examples. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ash-Shura, ayah number 40, وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. The punishment, the recompense for an evil is an evil that is like it. The punishment for an evil is an evil that is like it. The person who hits the other, is he doing something evil? Yes. But the person who is taking revenge and he is hitting the other person back, is he doing something evil? No, he's taking revenge. He's justified for doing that action. So technically, taking revenge is not evil, isn't it? But it has been called evil. Why? Because the same word has been used. The word that was used to describe the offense is the same as the punishment for that offense. Why is this done? To show that the person who is taking revenge is able. The person who is taking revenge is able. He has the ability. He has the power. He has the strength to take revenge. Nothing can stop him. So similarly, when this word is used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu yastahzi'u bihim, it shows that Allah has the power to take revenge. Allah has the power to inflict punishment upon them. Allahu yastahzi'u bihim. Also, it shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish them for their istihza. Allah will punish them for their mockery. Or the consequence of their mockery will be on who? Will be against who? On these people. On the same people. So Allahu yastahzi'u bihim, what does it mean? That Allah will take revenge from them. Allah will inflict punishment upon them. Why? For their having mocked the believers. So you see, who is Allah defending over here? The believers. They said about the believers that we were only mocking. We were mocking at the believers. Allah says Allah mocks at them. Not the believers mock at them. Allah mocks at them. So it shows how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defends the believers. Remember, that if you're doing something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you suffer, whether it is humiliation, whether it is some physical hurt, whether it is some fatigue or anything at all, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on your side. Why? Because you're doing what you're doing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tells us in Surah Al-Hajj, ayah number 38, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Indeed, Allah defends those people who have believed. Allah defends them. Allah is on their side. So no matter who says whatever to you, know that Allah is on your side when you're doing something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu yastahzi'u bihim, Allah mocks at them. Allah inflicts punishment upon them for their having mocked the believers. And it has also been said that literally the hypocrites, they will be mocked at in the hereafter. Literally, the hypocrites will be mocked at in the hereafter. And that is going to be the greatest istihza against them. According to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, in the hereafter, while the hypocrites will be in the hellfire, a door will be opened for them, leading them to paradise. And they will run towards that door. But that door is going to be closed on their faces. That door is going to be shut on their faces. Then another door will be opened so that they can escape and they can enter Jannah. But again, as soon as they reach the door, that door is going to be closed upon them. It is going to be shut upon them. And then this thing will continue. Allahu yastahzi'u bihim. They were making fun of the believers. They will be made fun of tomorrow. Remember that making fun of others is something very dangerous. It is something very dangerous. Many times, we make fun of others and the same thing happens to us. Exactly the same thing happens to us. Sometimes we have seen it with others. Sometimes we have experienced it ourselves. Making fun of others is extremely dangerous. Allahu yastahzi'u bihim. وَيَمُدُّهُمْ And he prolongs them, فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ In their transgression, while they wander blindly. The word يَمُدُّهُمْ is from the root letters ميم دال دال. مَدَّ يَمُدُّ مَدَّ يَمُدُّ literally means to stretch something lengthwise. To increase something in its length. What does مَدَّ mean? To increase something in its length. So يَمُدُّهُمْ He extends for them. He prolongs for them. He lets it continue. He prolongs for them. فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ In their طُغْيَان, in their rebellion. The word طُغْيَان is from the root letters طَغَيْنْيَ طَغَيْنْيَ طَغَى طَغَى literally means to cross the bounds. What does it mean? To cross the bounds, to exceed the limits. In Surah Al-Haqqa, ayah number 11, we read, إِنَّ لَمَّا طَغَى الْمَاءُ حَمَلْنَاكُمْ فِي الْجَارِيَةِ That when the water, it crossed its bounds, we carried you in the ship. The story of Nuh alayhi salam. Okay? So طَغَى is what? When water crosses its limits, when the water crosses its bounds. What's the bound of the water? For example, if it's a lake, the shore. The sea, the shore. Right? So the طُغْيَان of the water would be going beyond the shore. This is the literal meaning. Now طُغْيَان in action would be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set limits for us. This is right, this is wrong. This is permissible, this is not permissible. طُغْيَان is that a person, what does he do? He doesn't care about the limits. He doesn't care about the limits. So يَمُدُّهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ Now the question is, what is their طُغْيَان? What is their transgression? What is the excess that they were committing? Their istihza, their mocking, their lying. Their mocking, their lying. Their arrogance, their denial. Their I don't care attitude. وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ What does it mean by يَمُدُّهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ He prolongs them in their طُغْيَان, meaning He lets them do whatever they want to do. He doesn't catch them immediately. He doesn't inflict punishment upon them immediately. يَمُدُّهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ He just lets them do whatever they want to do. He gives them respite. He gives them more and more opportunities to do the wrong that they do. And many times when people are in such a situation where they're doing something wrong, and they're able to do wrong, what do they think? What do they think? They're right. Everything is fine. Nothing is wrong. Because if it was something wrong, they should not have been alive. They should have been stopped. يَمُدُّهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ He prolongs them in their transgression. And in their transgression, in their wrong ways, what are they doing? Allah says they are يَعْمَهُونَ They're wandering blindly. The word يَعْمَهُونَ is from the root letters عَيْن مِيم هَ عَيْن مِيم هَ عَمَهَ is used for the blindness of the heart. You see, there is blindness of the sight. When a person is not able to see, right? When a person is not able to see something that is physical, he's not able to use his eyes. There is another type of blindness, the blindness of the heart, in which a person is not able to comprehend, in which a person is not able to understand, in which a person is not able to realize, relate. You know, certain situations or certain concepts, you say, I get it. And other things you say, I just don't get it. Amaha is a feeling of, I don't get it. Is when a person does not understand. When a person does not get it. And otherwise, amaha is also used for a state of confusion. What is it? A state of confusion. Where a person is just wandering blindly. He doesn't see the obvious. He doesn't see that which is in front of him. So يَعْمَهُونَ They are lost. They are in a state of confusion. They are wandering blindly. So what is their state of confusion? What is their state of wandering blindly? Their state of being engrossed in their wrong actions and not seeing the wrong actions that they are committing. The state of being engrossed in wrong deeds, in acts of disobedience, and not seeing those wrong deeds. وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ They continue in their wrong ways, wandering blindly. Wandering blindly. Now you see, the hypocrites, they have an attitude which can be described as, I don't care attitude. You warn them, they don't realize. You tell them, they don't realize. You show them, they don't see. You explain to them, they mock. Something serious, they make fun. It's I don't care attitude. And this is the sign of a hypocrite. This is the way of a hypocrite. That he crosses the limits. Tughyan. What is tughyan? To cross the limits. I don't care. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I don't care about any limits. I don't care about what he feels, what she feels, what I said yesterday, and the fact that I'm doing something completely opposite today. I don't care. Tughyan. Crossing the limits. Not caring about any limits. This is what tughyan is. And this is a characteristic of the hypocrites. And the believers, they are different. The believers care. They are muttaqeen. They are careful. They have taqwa. They are concerned. They are careful. There is an incident that we learn about. Abdullah ibn Zubayr said that a group of riders belonging to a particular tribe, they came to the Prophet ﷺ. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, O Prophet ﷺ, appoint so and so as their leader. Umar radiallahu anhu said, No, O Prophet ﷺ, but appoint so and so, a different person as their leader. So basically, Abu Bakr and Umar, they had a difference of opinion. And what happened? Thereupon, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to Umar, You just wanted to oppose me. Umar radiallahu anhu replied, I did not want to oppose you. And then the argument continued. So both of them ended up in an argument. And in that argument, their voices became louder. Their voices became very loud in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that all you who have believed, do not put yourselves before Allah and His Messenger, but fear Allah. What was the ayah? That all believers, do not put yourselves before Allah and His Messenger, whether it is, you know, in walking or in acting or in speaking. So if the Prophet ﷺ is there, what did that mean? Do not raise your voices in his presence. If there was anybody else, if there was one of us in that situation, what would we do? Give a justification. I just became angry. You know, I don't mean to disrespect the Prophet ﷺ. I mean, I just became very emotional. I just started shouting. I didn't realize. We give justifications. Or we say, what's the big deal? I was only talking loudly. That's it. I was not shouting at him. I was only talking loudly. What's the big deal? But you know what Umar radiallahu anhu did after that? Abdullah ibn Zubayr, he said that after that, Umar's voice was so low that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to ask him to repeat what he said so that he could understand what he was saying to him. The believers, they care. They are conscious. They are alert. They do not commit tughyan. They do not commit tughyan. But the hypocrite, what does he do? If he is reprimanded, if he is made to realize of some mistake, he does not care. And when he does not care, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَمُدُّهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ He leaves them in their tughyan. And what do? They lose insight. They lose the ability to perceive the reality. They lose the ability to even figure out what is right, what is wrong, if their actions are correct or not. The Prophet ﷺ said, and this is a hadith that is mentioned in At-Tirmidhi, that two qualities do not come together in a hypocrite. What are they? Good manners and the understanding of the deen. Good manners and the understanding of the deen. They do not come together in a hypocrite. A hypocrite, فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ They're wandering blindly. No idea what's going on. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, about the hypocrites, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ Those are the ones who have purchased error in exchange for guidance. فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ So their transaction has brought no profit. وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ Nor were they guided. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ Those. The word أُولَٰئِكَ is used to point to something that is near or far? Far. Why is the word ulaika used for them? Why is the word ulaika used for them? To show how far below, how lowly, how humiliated, how low are the hypocrites. How far they are, how deep down they are in their status, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learnt earlier that they will be in the lowest part of the hellfire. فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ أُولَٰئِكَ. Those people. Who are they? الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا. They are the ones who have bought. They have purchased. What have they purchased? الضَّلَالَةَ. Misguidance. In exchange for what? In exchange for guidance. What does it mean by that? They have taken misguidance and they have given away guidance. Just as you buy some food or a piece of clothing or something from the store, and what do you give in exchange? Your money. So they have taken dalala, and what have they given? Guidance. The word ishtarawu is from the root letters sheen, ra, ya. Sheen, ra, ya. Shira means to buy, to take one thing in exchange for another. And it also gives a meaning of sell, to buy and to sell. Because if you think about it, both the things happen at the same time. A complete transaction is when you give something in exchange for another. You give something and you take something. So ishtarawu, they have bought, they have purchased. What? Al-dalalata. When you buy something and you pay for it, you give your money for it, the money that you worked so hard to gain, what does that show? That you love your money more or you love that thing more? That particular thing that you have bought, you love that more, right? You're giving more preference to it. You're giving priority to it. It is of more value to you. You like it more. That is why you will give the money that you earned in exchange for it, so that you can get that particular thing. You know, sometimes people, they work so hard, they make money, they save money for so long, they cut out on so many things. They won't spend, you know, on extra clothes, they won't spend on entertainment, they won't spend on anything, just the bare minimum, just to be able to save the money. And what do they do with all that money? They buy something with it. For example, they will buy a house, or they will buy a car or something like that. What does that show? That the car is of value to them. They give importance to the car. They want it, which is why they'll sacrifice for it. Over here, what are the hypocrites doing? They are buying, they are purchasing, they are taking misguidance. And what is the price for that? Guidance. The price for misguidance is guidance. They give up guidance in order to get misguidance. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ. This transaction, what does this show? That they prefer disbelief over belief. They prefer shak over yaqeen. They prefer doubt over certainty. Just imagine a person who is very sick. He has the money to pay for the treatment, but he says, no, I love my money more than my health. Is there any person who does that? People will take loans. Their relatives will sell their organs to get money to pay for the treatment. They will put their house on mortgage. They will sell their house. They will sell their car. They will do so many things. Why? To get the money so that they can treat their loved ones. But the hypocrites, what are they doing? Completely opposite. They are preferring shak over yaqeen. They prefer to be in a state of sickness, in a state of illness, instead of being in a state of healthiness. They prefer shak to yaqeen. They prefer ignorance to knowledge. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent towards them a messenger. He sent knowledge. But what did they do? They didn't want it. They gave it up to get something else. This transaction, Allah says, فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ. So their transaction has brought no profit to them. وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ. Nor were they guided. فَمَا رَبِحَتْ. The word رَبِحَتْ is from the root letters رَبَحَ. رِبْح. رِبْح is to gain some profit. What is رِبْح? Profit. رِبْح is also used for the proceeds or the profit that is obtained by a transaction, a business transaction. For example, you invest 50,000. and you get 60,000. So what's the profit? 10, right? But Allah says, this transaction that they made, did they get any profit? Did they get any benefit? No. فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ The word tijara is from the root letters ta, jin, ra, and tijara is to trade, to buy and sell at the same time, and it is to buy and sell for the purpose of profit. So this transaction that they have made, Allah says they have obtained no benefit out of it. No benefit at all. Because in the dunya also, what happened to them? They were neither on the side of the believers, nor were they on the side of the disbelievers. They were neither here, nor were they there. And in the hereafter also, where are they? In Jannah? No. فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ And nor are they guided. The word muhtadin is a plural of the word muhtadi. Muhtadi. You see the additional ta? The additional ta? It gives additional meaning. Muhtadi is one who has received the guidance. One who has received guidance. One who accepts the guidance. One who receives the guidance. And who internalizes the guidance that he has received. وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ And they're not rightly guided at all. Then what are they? If they're not guided, what does that mean? They are astray. They are الضالين. They are astray. وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ مُهْتَدِينَ is plural of the word muhtadi. Okay? How will you write muhtadi? With a ya at the end. Because the root letters have the ya. هَذَا الْيَا
Let's listen to the recitation of these verses.
وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسُ قَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُ كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَاءُ أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ السُّفَهَاءُ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِهِمْ قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ اللَّهُ يَسْتَهْزِئُ بِهِمْ وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ أولئك الذين اشتروا الضلالة بالهدى فما ربحت تجارتهم وما كانوا مهتدين
So we learn from the last ayat, the hypocrites prefer not knowing over knowing. Some people say, I don't want to study the Quran. I don't want to learn the deen. Why? Because if I study, if I know, I will have to implement it. So therefore, I don't study, I don't learn, so I also don't have to implement it. This is what? This is preferring ignorance over knowledge. And this is the way of who? This is the way of the hypocrites. This is the way of the munafiqeen. We prayed in Surah Al-Fatiha, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ O Allah, guide us to the right way. And that right way is described in the Qur'an. She was telling us about a friend of hers who was a non-Muslim. And she wanted to become a Muslim and somebody advised her that yes, Islam is a good religion, it has everything that is right, but don't become a Muslim because when you become a Muslim, you will have to do everything. So go live your life freely, happily. Don't confine yourself to certain limits. And you know who advised her? A Muslim person. Anything else? The word rabihat is from ribh. And ribh is profit, proceeds that you gain from a business or an investment or something like that. So they made a transaction. What's the transaction that they made? They took misguidance, and what's the price they paid for it? Guidance. Did they gain any profit out of this transaction? No. You know, sometimes you buy something and it turns out to be beneficial. So what do you say? What do you say? It was worth the price, wasn't it? Even if it was a lot of money, you say it was worth it. Yes, I had to give a lot of money for it, but it was worth it because it's so useful. It's so beneficial. And sometimes you buy something and it's completely useless. And what do you say? It was a waste of money. You lost the money, and you also didn't gain any benefit out of the thing that you bought. So similarly, the hypocrites, they lost the guidance, and at the same time, they didn't gain any benefit from the dhalala that they acquired.
I was reading from a book that in verse 14, when they say to the believers, amanna, it's very dry, they just say, we believe. But then when they're talking to their friends, the hypocrites, they say that, inna ma'akum, we know we're with you, and then they try to explain themselves that we're only mocking. So it shows that what side they're inclining on to.
Exactly. When they're talking to the believers, they just say, amanna, we have believed. And with the disbelievers or with their leaders, what do? Inna ma'akum, we are with you. We don't just disbelieve, but we are with you. We are your supporters, we are your followers. So it really shows whose side they were more inclined to. Anything else? Mushakala. Meem, sheen, alif, kaf. Not qaf, kaf. Lam, tamaruta. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.